The Weekly Dose of Fat, show number 121, Friday, February 3rd, 2017, the Fat Bike National Champion Show.
Listener, just by tuning in, you've unlocked a door with the key of no imagination. Beyond that door is another dimension, a dimension of sound, a dimension of mind, a no mention of fat. You're now moving into a land of both hero snow and ball-bearing powder, of friendly yetis and deranged mutant killer monster snow goons. You've just crossed over into the Weekly Dose of Fat.
Howdy, partners. This is Comrade Gomez over on the other side of American couches. Bike Pack Ribbon Dark Lord Evan Larson.
Hey, kids. Welcome to the Faster Than Light radio broadcast. And spooling up the FTL funk across from me is Crazy Chris Daisy.
Yes. Normally, I would be here to sing you lovely love songs and whisper sweet nothings into your ear hole. But tonight, we're all metal.
I'd like to introduce Dave over on the other side of the Davenport.
That's right, fresh out of his marital bunker, just long enough to do our evil bidding.
Hey.
This episode of the Weekly Dose of Fat is brought to you by the Surly Ride Pants. Your legs are like pure gold ingots, so why not cloak them in the pure luxury of Surly's new and improved Pantalones del Ride.
Learn more about the brand that started this great big fat cycle revolution at surlybikes.com.
Revolution. It's a nice wardrobe is brought to you by the Spacey Cloud Hemp Onesie. Wearable technology for a modern lifestyle.
And if you're like me, that is, you only wear one-piece clothing and your feet get strangely hot, the Spacey Cloud Hemp Onesie is for you.
And for those of you with that long hair, the clip-in man bun goes fur perfectly with this onesie. It's the way of showing the world that you are a twat waffle or possibly a dolphin rapist without ever having to utter any wordy words.
Hey, I'm rocking a real man bun tonight. Which one am I? I'm excited to know. Come on.
Could be kind of like a dolphin rapist.
Oh, good. Good, because I didn't want to be a twat waffle.
I was going to say, there's not any square patterns to your facial features, so I'm going to have to say this.
Okay, sweet.
So grab Grandma's glasses and check out the Spacey Cloud Sick Farter link right there in our damn show notes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So what do you wear under your onesie?
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that's between us and this thin layer of hemp is
a gold chain.
Okay, but honestly, did you guys watch the video with the guy demonstrating how the abilities?
Hence my look. I've adapted his look for the evening.
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
Borrowed my wife's
shoes. It's going to be in the link, so you guys, everybody needs to check this.
You just imagine us sitting around wearing these onesies with clip-on man buns. And
nice, cool feet.
And
I love that it's
rocking it.
Yeah, I love that it's perfect for every occasion. You name it, they say it's perfect for it. At a rave,
job interview,
it's perfect. Just comb your hair.
Neighbor kid's bris.
It's perfect. Just don't sit too close.
Grandma's funeral.
perfect.
I love just you, sad.
It's sad that Grandma didn't get one of her own.
All to get buried. Yeah, maybe I'll get buried in mine.
In fact, I think that's where Grandma got his, or the spokesmodel got his shade, was at Grandma's funeral.
All I know is I'm glad I got these nice headphones I'm wearing for the show wired up through this fine One Piece. And I can also rock out to my EDM and also complete the flower child look.
I don't know. It could use a rear zipper, personally.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's
I'm
my,
having trouble over here.
That's my only complaint. I can't conceal and carry with this flipping thing.
You gotta keister it, dude.
See? Rear zipper?
Yeah, see? Easy access then. No problem.
Fantastic. All right, enough of this jive. Let's barge right into the beards and beer segment of this radio broadcast.
Beards and beer, beards and beer. Beards and beer, beards and beer, beards and beer. Where's your beer? Where's your beard? Where's your beer? The following is a public service announcement about combs.
Beards and Beer is brought to you by the Old Familiar Comb Company. Old Familiar Comb are laser cut from stainless steel and hand finished to give you a quality metal hair comb that also opens a beer. And it fits in my pocket right now.
With lasers, dude!
Lasers.
A good comb is a well-groomed gentleman's best friend.
Hey, Gomez, why the hell don't I have one of these? You know, I'm really tired of my calloused fingers combing my beard and opening beer cans.
You actually, you're a senior man in the beard length department here now since... I sheared. Oh, yeah. We are firmly in the...
You're wearing the high and tight, man, like me.
I knew something yeah. was different.
I mowed my face.
Did you burn it? Or did you cut it?
I thought I'd go to Nationals and nobody would know who I was if I cut the beard off. But it didn't work.
Mr. Ingram.
That's your disguise plan. I just trimmed 3 inches. I'm completely anonymous.
And wear sunglasses.
Looks really different to me. So the reason you probably don't have one, Dave, is you haven't gone to the Old Familiar Comb Company.com and clicked on that Buy Me button.
Oh, but, right.
You know, we should probably do some sort of special limited edition weekly dose of fat comb, beard comb.
Beards Southern, and beard Southern comb. Edition?
Yeah, something like that. Like, with picture of Dave's beard on it since he's senior beard man on the show now.
There we go.
I concur.
So you should probably let me know what I'm supposed to say now.
We were trying to be more prepared, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, and thus the show notes are in full effect.
You know what I could use? Notes. I could use some metal right now.
All
right. Give me a rift, maestro.
So I think where we left off was beer.
Beer? We I think beers. It's all you now.
Beer.
Oh, shit.
The beer segment. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. Well, hello there, my athletically livered friends. So, Evan, you got, you procured a very nice beer for us tonight.
I did.
It looks to be a Goose Island Bourbon County Stout. The most recent iteration. How'd you manage to get that? How many, or what, how many hippies did you tackle, or hipsters?
He's a rabble rouser.
you know, me and my homies, we were out wilding at the Gold Coast, and long story short, I got a gold case of Bricks, and I got 2 cases of this dark nectar in the trunk of some beatnik's Telsa. I completely borrowed. I borrowed it.
That's nice they left that Tesla plugged in for you.
And the gold
bricks.
It
was a
Telsa. Telsa, I tell you.
It has gold wing doors. This thing is freaking crazy looking.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't incriminate ourselves any further, so I'll talk more about the beer. So, you know, Bourbon County Stout is it's a good beer. Pretty much awesome whenever you can find it, with the exception of last year when they kind of messed up, but this year they got back on track. No more infected bottles.
Wait. How did goodies. Infected bottles?
I want a beer infection.
Yeah, evidently some of the barrels had something in it that didn't work well with the hops or something. Things went horribly south.
Zombies? Was it zombies?
This beer cooties.
So
probably did... beer cooties.
So wait, now what year was
bad
that?
Case let me just of the check beer cooties.
That wasn't this year, right? Or no, it's 2017.
Take your chances, be a man.
Well, I guess
I'd just like to point out that, you know, when up north when we do beer, nobody ever just brings one bottle and three little tasting glasses.
This ain't Milwaukee, man.
They normally would bring in, you know, this is me back before I, you know, became
drinking
temperate. We would just bring like a six pack or a mini keg. So this is cute. Go ahead.
I've got growlers in the car. I can bring them down.
But, you know, be noted that we are also currently drinking other beers right now.
So this
is probably just a indicative of how special this beer is.
That's what it is. Yeah. It's a fancy beer.
It's a fancy beer that's hard to find. It's not cheap.
Rated 100 out of 100 by the Beer Advocate.
I'm inclined to agree. It's a damn good beer. So.
Let's keep our audience in suspense as to what it tastes like and come back after this break.
So I heard you need a fat bike. Come to Zion Cyclery in Zion, Illinois. We have all brands. Trek, Borealis, Salsa, Felt, Surly, and more. Yo, we have all the cold weather gears by 45 North and Bontrager. Keep those fingers and toes nice and toasty. We fix bikes also. So you have any problem? Brakes, gears, suspension? We have the best mechanics in town. So yeah, visit us at ZionCycle.com.
Have you all had a chance to taste?
Oh, we're supposed to drink it?
I was waiting.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so polite.
All right.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers. Cheers.
Skull.
Ooh, it's chewy.
Whoa.
Man, huh?
Hits the spot, as always.
That is darkness.
It is dark. Very dark.
Wow.
Suits our metal.
So in all honesty, I have to thank my neighbor for this beer, because that is where I procured it. So thank you, Joffrey.
I appreciate it. Dude, I need a beer for the show tonight. I don't have time to go to the liquor store.
I've been saving it. I didn't know what I was saving it for, because I kind of got lost it in the fridge for a week. But I found it, and I was like, yes, this is freaking beer to drink.
Man, that's good. What's the ABV on this one?
It's 13.8.
Mm.
So, a Chihuahua.
13.8. Oh, yeah. I just realized you said that. Whoa. All right. Party.
Makes an excellent after-ride beer this time of year.
Mm.
I got to say, it's funny how Dave always pours equal amounts, but for some reason, you always seem to end up with the most.
That's not funny. That's practice.
So, we should talk about what our favorite ride libation is for during the ride and then after the ride.
What about before the ride?
Before the ride, during the ride, and then after the ride.
I just want to make sure that I'm on the same page with everybody.
The Harley Trilogy of drinking.
This be true. Just not on the way to the trails.
Every time. Before, during, after.
Brilliant! I got to tell you, though, my favorite after-drink ride has got to be the Ballast Points Grapefruit Sculpin.
So you're going all Quentin Tarantino, and you're going into the after first, and then you're going to slip in the beginning.
Absolutely.
All right.
Bring out the
gap. Let me tell you about the...
I'm ready.
Let me tell you about the pre-ride beer. Before I tell you about...
Pre-ride.
The after Grapefruit Sculpin. The pre-ride after drink that I drink before the ride is a Grapefruit Sculpin. So if you're following me, the pre-after drink ride that I ride to drink.
AM and PM.
This is a really good bourbon.
I'm not understanding what you're saying right now.
Stout.
I think we've entered the beer zone. Dave, how about you?
1 second.
Pre, during, and after.
Pre, occasionally I'll have something light. Most of the time not. I save most of it for during and after. But being a weekend warrior, I like to, you know, train. So I'll usually, you know, choke down some sort of protein-laden drink after the ride, and then...
With the beer?
Oh. Is there protein in beer?
I don't know, actually. Huh. I know a lot about beer, but
can
I don't know that.
Can you mix protein powder in beer?
Sure.
The carbonation.
your face just lit up like, wow!
Yeah! I'm just thinking of
where have you been all my life?
You know what? I just saw that insects, crickets, are the best source of digestible protein.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Wait, did you see this on? Did you see this on Shark Tank?
Yeah.
Because that cricket flour is pretty far fucking out. If you ask me, cricket chips. One cricket per chip.
I know, it's crazy. But we digress.
Maybe after my next race, I'll get a bag full of crickets and chew those instead.
You could mentally psych out your opponent that way.
I had a
just stare at him and eat crickets.
I ate a cicada once. I'm going to win. I did.
Maybe that'll work on Cole House the next time I go up next to him.
There cicadas, they taste like almonds.
Dave, almonds. Is that it? Have you thrown the gauntlet down here on the weekly dose of fat?
Not even close.
Gonna take the new U.S. champion down a peg at Fat Bike Berkey. I'm just an instigator. I'm just like,
pay no mind to prior shows.
Now, I've raced with Cole quite a few times, and by that I mean I've been ahead of him for about a second, and then he's passed me, and that's the last I saw of him. I raced with him 2 weeks ago at Manuka Park.
Yeah.
He finished first, no surprise. I was fourth, so not too far behind, but nice. He's a lot faster than me.
So he's, well, he is.
He's not
on
drinking
the show
powdered
later.
Beer.
Mm-hmm. I'm all the way at the end of the show. I don't know. I don't know how I got there.
Well, what about
summertime drinks?
Yeah, summer versus winter. Do you have a seasons. Year-round libation?
I think we're going to Chris now.
Oh, great. You want to know what I do? So pre-ride.
Oh,
yeah, right. Thanks, Dave. Pre-ride, I like to lively up myself. We'll let the NSA figure out what that means.
Pizza.
During the ride, I like a traditional drink of water or electrolyte drink because, I don't know, I just can't quite booze and pedal that well unless it's an emergency. I forgot all my energy drinks, in which case that happened one of the first times I met you out at Kettle Moraine.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, crap. I left the whole ride, left all my goo, left all everything in the car.
And I had
got to the midway point, and I'm like, God, I'm so hungry, and I'm so tired, I'm bonking out. And then you had a like big cooler full of beer. And I drank a PBR, and it made life way better.
Yeah.
I got back on the ride, and it was, like, fantastic, yeah. So there is something to be said there. I'm not going to lie. Post-ride is just straight whiskey.
Straight whiskey.
I like whiskey in the winter more than the summer. It's something about it being ice cold. It's just fantastic. And I'm not chewing my beer out of the can. But, yeah, whiskey. Whiskey and winter, that's a winning combination.
It's how we survive Wisconsin.
Yeah, hard liquor
go,
in winter.
I just
go
gotta
better.
Go water for during the ride. That'd be my favorite all time. Water, just tap water.
See, I drink it while I'm driving to the trail, so I can drink while I'm at the trail.
And after,
that's the pre ride.
I like my soda pop or fruity drinks.
Just one? Or do you have a cooler of fruity drinks?
Oh, I would bring a cooler, for sure. And beer for other people, but a couple of sodas for me. I'm having Canada Dry ginger ale tonight.
It's what's like the ABV on that?
Zero.
It's got lots of bubbles.
It's got bubbles and ginger. Real live ginger root. Whatever that does for you. So that about takes us through the, what are we doing now? Beards and beer. That was the longest beards and beer thing.
Well, we're not done yet. Let's make it longer.
I want to talk about what do you bring while you're riding, not just drinking before. After, before, and then before, after. I want to talk about the middle of that ride that you're putting in either your back pocket with a koozies. And how do you keep your beer cold, Dave, in the summer? That's what I want to know. Yeah, how do you keep it from freezing in the winter?
But actually, I use the same method summer and winter. Nice. And that's two koozies. So
that's it? Where do you put these two koozies?
In my backpack.
Damn. Have you seen the little bar mitts zip up water bottle holders yet? Those are kind of slick.
Yeah.
That could be a solution.
Nice.
I feel that a couple of heat pads in there and no frozen beer.
No frozen beer. As long as it's in a frame bag, I feel like it doesn't freeze.
You and I both have those 40 below bags that hold four beers each.
Yeah, the Becker. And I use that mostly on the top tubes of my Crosstrek.
I do mine below the down tube.
Yeah, I got to use a little clip to pinch it off, but it kind of turns it into a mud flap with the Pugsley. The clearance isn't really there. So you get one of those plastic paper clip things, you flip them inside out, you know, you can fucking bounce them off tables when you're bored. Yeah, you just use it on the front and turns the...
Because your tire rubs?
Yeah.
On the Pugsley?
Yeah, so you can only fit probably like three beers... And just no log overs.
Mm-hmm.
I fill up the very bottom with a little bit of foam.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah.
You know how I ride. It's fine. I ride stupid.
Yeah.
I see it. I'm like, I'm going to do that. Smash into it. I don't realize I got a fucking beer down
there.
Well,
I just think my chain ring would hit before the beer would hit.
You'd think, but.
Sounds like you've lost a beer or two.
It's like just frozen mess of slushy. It's still. Edible, it's fine, but those are good bags.
It's kind of funny, like, the people do have their specific beer that they drink, like Zito and Spinner, both Miller High Life guys, that would surprise me if I rode up on them at any time when they didn't have in their pack a couple of those.
Yeah, I'm more of a seasonal guy.
Yeah. You know?
Stouts, old ales, something heavier, darker in winter and summer, hefes, IPAs.
That way, if you nothing spill it in the snow, you know which snow you're supposed to eat.
And you know, the cool thing about like a 12 ounce can in these onesies is this chest pocket. You can totally squeeze a beer in there because hemp stretches.
Put your fruit juice in there.
Yeah, you could put one of those juice pouches.
I didn't know there was a pocket. I just put it at the lowest point in my zipper.
There's pockets all over this thing. I got back pockets, and they're weird. They're stitched on like the outside, so I feel like I'm wearing this inside out.
No, so you.
But there's a tag. Thank God.
Your whole beard can will fit in there. And you know, you grow your man bun like Chris over there. Right. You could probably keep a beer cold and or unfrozen, depending. Summer, winter, wrapped up in that cocoon of human hair.
I do it like curlers in the morning. Just a 12-pack on my head.
Especially when you have a headache.
Yeah. That's the 12 remaining from the night before.
So wait, does anybody want to know what I do with my beers for the summer? No?
Oh, what? That's what do you?
Fine.
What,
that's what? Fine. Whatever.
Hey, good talk.
Good talk, Gomez. Good talk. I see.
That happens. That's the first time that's happened to you.
I'm shocked.
Let me take this opportunity to apologize. This is like a pan-galactic apology for everything I've ever said.
I appreciate that.
And will say.
From here forward. It's most heartfelt. I can see it.
Dude, it totally was.
All right, well, I'm going to tell you. I don't fucking care. Or your tone, sir. Oh. I like to use the feed bag method for summer or winter. Summertime, bottom of it, packed with ice. Beer, more ice on top, as much as you can fit. You got a crispy cold beer, no matter what the temperature. Fantastic. Wintertime, It's usually filled with snacks because the frame bag has the beer, but it works both ways, minus the ice.
Almost sounds like a tiny ice cream maker in the making there. You throw some salt in there and ride around and jumble it around.
Margarita time?
Yes!
I will do a report.
Put some heavy cream and some strawberries and a little sugar in there and a little motor that scrapes the frozen part off as the ice melts. And
go hit those baby heads at Emma.
It wouldn't be a bad idea to put like an actual cocktail shaker on your bike and then go ride some really rugged trails, and at the end of the ride have a with just perfectly like shaken beverage.
Booze, ice, and lime juice, right?
Yeah, like a margarita just ready to be shaken, and you just go out there and you ride like hell and you shake it, and then you enjoy it at some just point in the trail.
Tiny little reward at the end of your ride.
Yeah.
That you made.
Exactly.
There you go.
Tips. We're full of tips today.
Body shots up at the top of the Emma Overlook.
Yeah. Lay on the bench. Let me pour this in your belly button.
We're all friends.
Well, if that doesn't clothe the Beards and Beer segment, nothing will. So at this point, you're probably wondering, what the hell is this program about? But I'm here to tell you that you're listening to the Weekly Dose of Fat on
Fat Bike Radio. Our special segment this evening is brought to you by the official crease grease of Fat Bike Radio. Happy bottom butter, invented in laboratory, tested by our old cousin over there in jolly old England, Charlie, the bike monger.
We still haven't actually slathered any of this grundalement anywhere on anyone. But hey, I read on the internet that it's vegan and pansexual, meaning that it's like good for girls or guys or the transgendered folks.
What they're saying is it won't hurt your little private parts if you accidentally get it on there.
And it didn't hurt anybody else's any parts because it's vegan, man.
Word. No animals died for your ass cream, people. Get that right.
I can't wait to try it.
Is this corn? Is this karutsukul? It's made from a special Croatian corn.
Oh, I love that. I use that at work. I constantly say that to get people out of my fucking way.
It works. I've never had like anybody turn around that, like, you know how grumpy people are. It's like people will be like, what? It's like it's the funniest thing.
Well, you know what I want to know? I want to know how many of our listeners, or just our listener, have you tried this yet? Have you kookarooed anybody? And if you haven't, why not? Why have you not tried this? Are you resulting? Are you relying
on a bell or a siren or just stealth?
Well, do you say on your left? Are you one of those people that say on your left and then they go left and then you're pissed about it? It's your
own damn fault.
Doesn't
happen with a cougar roots, I'm telling you. Because they turn around thinking they're going to get it. They look at me like I'm going to hand them a bouquet of flowers.
Instead, you give them a corn cob.
Instead, I'm just like, whoosh, buy them. Whoa, that was the fattest cob I've ever seen on a bike. Jesus Christ. Look at the size of my head on that thing.
I had a perfect opportunity to use it this last week, but I could only remember the first two syllables, so I just didn't use it.
And going, cool, cool.
I was
going
to say, were you just running around going, cool, cool.
I could. So it's cool, carrots.
Yes.
Yeah.
So just got to remember the oots.
Let us know. I just want to know. Let me know if you're using it out there, you Facebookers.
My grandmother would have loved you, Gomez.
Well, he's just so cheerful. Look at him right now. He's glowing.
Just made so, his evening. Probably would have got a sweet pair of sunglasses out of that deal too.
You would have some really awesome cabbage rolls is what you would have gotten. Sauerkraut up the ass.
You had to go there.
Oh, for fuck's sake. In this week's special segment, we get to hear an interview from U.S. National Fat Bike Champions Cole House and Amy Stewart. So Gomez caught up with Cole at the finish line, and here's how the whole thing went down, Vatos.
And he's going like twice as fast as me.
So here we are at the Nationals. I've got Cole House, the men's pro elite winner. Cole, how do you feel?
Excited.
So tell us, run us through a little bit about how the race went. How did it go? When did it break up?
Well, I knew this morning, looking at start list, I knew it'd probably be like a 4 or 5 man race. So I just, the course wasn't too technical, it's fast, slick in spots. So I just kind of eased into it, put in some attacks just to kind of get rolling. And Jamie Driscoll, he put in a huge attack. Like, I think it was like the second lap. But there's so many headwind sections, I figured he wouldn't get very far. And Jordan and Corey were chasing, and you know, I wasn't feeling great, so I just let them do the work. They kind of said some stuff here and there, but this is a race, and racing's racing. So just played the race how I wanted to play it, and played it smart. And Jamie hit it on the last lap again, same spot as he hit it in the second lap. And he got a gap instantly, and I wasn't feeling strong enough to where I could chase him down, nor did I want to pull Jordan or Corey back up to him and make a mistake at the end that cost the race. But so Jordan was rolling pretty good. He was in a position where he had to, and I just played that card. And I think probably about a mile and a half to go, it went from headwind sections to crosswind sections, so I just pinned it there. He kind of mumbled something, I don't know what he said, but something about now you want to go or something. So I just, you know, I was playing my race, so that's what I did, and I just hit it, and right away I could see Jamie closing. See, I was closing on Jamie, but I knew it was also a long way to the line, so I wanted to kind of keep it steady and stay within myself. And then coming into the last quarter mile, I didn't know if I was going to be able to catch him. I think he had about 10 seconds and his headwind. So I hung back, and I knew the pitch to the finish was pretty steep, leveled out, and then went steep again into the downhill. And first steep pitch, he was still at 10 seconds. And I have a road background in sprinting, so just kind of timed it just perfect and hit it. Got about halfway up the short climb to the finish and dumped one more gear all in and came around the corner into the downhill, and I was gaining on him hard. And he kind of looked back, saw me coming, started sprinting again, and I got him right on the line with a bike throw. So it was a close finish. Awesome way to win. Stressful way to win, but awesome way to win.
Congratulations. This is your first national championship, right?
It's my first national title ever.
Yeah. Congratulations. Thank Great you. Race.
And we're back from the interview. That's Talk a little cool. bit about what you saw there, Gomez.
Yeah, that's quite the finish there.
That was recorded right at the end of the race. I mean, Cole finished, and then I rode my bike to where he was. We took a few shots, and that was his play-by-play of the race. We could see the whole thing. So I saw that whole interlude where he was chasing, and when they were on that first steep section, I thought, no way Cole can catch him. Cole's going to get second. And then by the time they hit the top of the lead guy was at the top of that climb, Cole was still on that climb. And I thought, it's 25 yards. There's just no way that he's going to catch him.
So he started his descent and Cole was still climbing.
Well, no. This guy got to the top, and Cole was still on that climb. Okay. So then your eyes are following that leader, and it's kind of, he takes a U-turn and then comes down toward the finish.
Okay.
And at that point, he sat up and turned and looked to see if there was anybody there. And as soon as he looked, Cole was on his butt. Cole was just pouring the coals to it on that last section. He had dropped a gear and he was really flying, and he just didn't expect him to be there. And literally, they rolled to the line, and Cole did the thrust the bike forward and nipped him at the line by seconds. It was a pretty amazing finish.
Good for Cole, but man, you don't look back. I suck at racing, and I know you don't look. I know there's nobody back there, and you know, but you don't do that.
Well, yeah, it a heartbreaking loss for that dude.
Yeah, that's why, you know, I don't know.
You could do it in last place.
Yeah, you know, but nobody's back there. That's why I don't do it.
Make sure you're not getting chased by a deer.
Or it doesn't matter if you're like in 15th
the
place.
The cleanup crew is looking at me like, hey,
you can look back all you want and then ride across no-handed with your hands up.
That's how I go through every intersection. Like, yeah, yes! Fuck you, I win.
We don't actually advocate that kind of, were you raised by wolverines or something?
It's my fault. I was too busy reminiscing of my intersection finishes. Next up, right. Gomez interviews the two-time women's national champ, Amy Stewart. How do you get these gigs, Gomez?
Is that why you always tell us there's beard cream and beer in the other room and then disappear for the weekend?
I cannot confirm or deny that beard cream has anything to do with this interview.
Well, let me introduce to our listeners at home the two-time USA National USA Cycling Fat Bike Champion, Amy Stewart. Welcome to the show and congratulations on your back-to-back national championships.
Hi, Gomez. Thanks for inviting me on the show. Chris and I listen often.
So not only did Amy win the Fat Nats twice, her husband Chris Stewart took fifth in this year's pro race and is also a national champion by his own right in his own age bracket. And Chris won this 40 pounds of fat bike from Fat Bike Radio a couple of years back, right?
Yeah. So last year I won my age group and planned to race that again, but only three women signed up. So I decided to step up to the pro race. I'm glad I did. Chris raced the pro race this year and in 2016. He won his age group the first year in 2015 and placed fifth in the back both the last year and this year.
Oh, cool.
He did win that 40 pounds of fat bike a couple years ago, and it was the first fat bike I ever rode.
Well, now we can take some credit for how strong you ride.
You should.
So last week in Grand Rapids, I watched you race, and it seemed like the first few laps you were shadowing Elizabeth Lurs, and it seemed like you were really relaxed and comfortable.
Yeah, I'm not a super experienced bike racer, so I'm still getting used to people sprinting off the line, which definitely happened Saturday. I was called up pretty much last, so didn't have a great position. And the start was downhill, and I was a little stressed about that, but managed to move my way up in a second after the first five or so minutes of the race. I grabbed Elizabeth's wheel and pretty much rode it for 3.5 laps out of five. There were a few places where I pulled through, but she just kept coming back around me, so I let her pull. And as you know, having been there, it was a pretty windy course.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know anything about her, so I just thought I'd hang on and see how it played out the last couple laps. There's a point in the course where you went downhill into a super sketchy icy patch, then crossed a bridge to a sharp right in a sort of steep uphill. So on the fourth lap, I took the inside corner on that hill and attacked, and I really thought Elizabeth would come back around me, but didn't. And the next time I looked back, I had a few seconds on her and just kept hammering. There were a couple of awesome fans on the course who fed me some time splits and motivated me to just keep going. And after the race, one of them told me that I, like you said, looked calm and in control, and I guess I felt relatively relaxed the whole time, especially in the last two laps. I just kept telling myself over and over two things, and the first was rubber side down, and the second was don't lose it.
Right on. Well, now you live in Salt Lake City, right?
We live in Park City, which about, you know, 15, 20 minutes from Salt Lake.
Right on. And that's at what elevation?
We live at 6,900 feet.
6,900 feet. And you were racing probably somewhere around, 300, 400 feet, Was the air thick and wet for you?
I actually struggled with the humidity and the cold. I just like felt cold all the time when I was there, but not when I was racing. Like that went away right away. But yeah, I'm not going to complain about coming down in elevation.
Excellent. So congratulations on the win. Tell us.
Thank you.
Tell us what's next on your race schedule.
Chris and I have a couple pretty local races, and headed to Sun Valley for a race in late February, and then we're headed to the Berkey in March.
Oh, very
cool. Hopefully there'll be snow there.
Yeah, well, I bet you there's snow. And you will see us there, so that's good news.
Yeah.
I appreciate you coming on the show. You've been a great guest. Thanks for giving us a call, and we'll see you at Berkey.
Yeah, thanks. Looking forward to it.
Thanks.
Oh, man, the Fat Bike Berkey sounds like it's going to be a hell of a good time.
Yeah, I'm going to be up there as well. Looks like they've been actually getting pretty good snowfall out there. So, unless there's some sort of apocalyptic melt, it should be a nice course.
Yeah, it's going to be a shindig and a half up there. We should.
That wasn't creepy at all.
our listener didn't get the look that came along with that statement.
We should have been Facebook Live in tonight.
Oh, man.
They still wouldn't have got the look because it had been pointed at the carpet.
Oh, I was going to break a box. I forgot it.
Said the guy in the Gucci sunglasses with the man bun,
hey,
and the hemp
onesie. I did
onesie.
This for comedy effect. Once you see the video, it'll all make sense. Maybe there'll be a side-by-side,
we need to at least get a picture of this fucking ridiculous.
Yes, because I never do this ever in real life, just so you know.
Yes, you are nominated for the onesie spokes picture.
As long as we're all pretending to be wearing onesies... And we're on the subject of things we weren't going to say.
Pretending the fuck out of wearing the onesies.
Pretending my ass. I just got my chest hair stuck in it.
See, pretending because you don't have any chest hair. So.
See? Well, before we get out the depilatory cream, we should probably take a break and put on our thinking helmets for the final fat segment.
We'll be back after this.
One taste and you'll agree, you can't find a more fresh, flavorful, first quality product than Texas Pete Hot Sauce. Texas Pete makes history with every batch. Try mixing Texas Pete with melted butter as a dipping sauce for your next order of shrimp, and you'll agree, nothing wakes up food like Texas Pete. TexasPete.com.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Fat Radio.
Well, we've landed in the final fat segment. This week's final fat segment is all about helmets. Do we all agree? Helmets all the time. Sometimes I don't wear a helmet, especially when it's really cold. So, do you guys ever not wear a helmet?
No. The last time I didn't wear a helmet was 1992.
All right. So, all three of you are helmet all the time.
I just got off of full face helmet. Yeah. All the time. I finally got used to not having...
Yeah. The last time I crashed, I cracked a helmet.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I've put three helmets...
Right in the temple.
I've signed and dated them, because those were the days I died.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, yeah.
All right, so helmet we agree? Time. Helmets, good idea.
Good idea. Absolutely.
This has been a public service announcement from FatBike.com.
Don't be like Gomez and not wear them on the beach.
Wear a dome on your dome.
There you go.
Well, because on a beach, you're going to fall on that one stupid rock, like a one in a million chance of like, oh, I endoed on a piece of driftwood and just happened to have a pebble-sized thing go through my skull. You know, why take that chance?
Better to have it, not need it.
Exactly. So this is a helmet, a helpful helmet segment for you folks out there at home. We're going to talk about how we deal with winter and putting a styrofoam cooler on your head.
Yeah, so I was in the shower the other day.
Too much information already.
Eh, you know, I bathe once a week sometimes.
Did you have the onesie on, or...
So the nice thing about the hemp is that it doesn't keep odors, so you don't need to wash it often.
So you wash it while you wear it.
Yeah, like once every other week.
When it rains.
Or when it rains.
Make it rain.
But I had this thought about winter helmets, mm-hmm. and much like war, what are they good for? Good God, yeah. Anyway, I've never worn a winter helmet. I can always get away with wearing a thin, you know, stocking cap underneath my summer helmet, either road or mountain, and I'm A-okay. Even to, you know, sub-zero, you know,
no
five
ice
below.
Cream headache, huh?
No.
And you fly on the bike.
That may well be part of the reason. Maybe I'm just putting out, you know, it's a very exothermic reaction and I don't need...
Are your ears covered at all? Or
my ears are always covered, either by a headband or something else.
Disclaimer, Dave does not have an ordinary head.
It's really tiny.
So smooth.
And I have no hair either, so I can't fill out an adult-size helmet.
Yeah. It's a tiny head.
We've got him on a Bond Trigger little dipper. It's pretty sweet.
But in part, that's what makes me so fast is that I'm very aerodynamic because of my
bullet.
Small melon.
And Zika.
I'm sorry,
so that's
too soon.
So you don't ever end. Now, you're the completely other way I'm putting it, Evan, for those of you not watching this on TV.
Where's that box?
You always wear a winter helmet, even when you don't.
That's right. Yeah, as soon as that temperature dips into the freezing below, even like 35 degrees, I'll get specific here. As soon as my head gets cold, I want my ears covered, and I still radiate heat out of the top of my head, so I use... Well, what I use is, it's an old Smith Vantage snowboarding helmet. It's got the little vents in the top, and it served me well when I was living out in Wyoming and shredding the gnar. No, I mean, really, it was like when I fell, I just tried to fall near a tree because you fell deep and you've got to pull yourself back up. But I digress. That the helmet served me well, and when I found that winter cycling was my real only other option besides making snow forts and ice sculpting, mm-hmm. I dusted this thing off and I put it to use, and it served me well. You know, when I try to cross an icy creek and you hit that front tire and it goes whoop, and your head hits first, haven't broken it yet.
And it looks like you can open and close the vents on that sucker.
Yeah, it's nice. They still... There, listen.
Side by side.
Vents.
Asymmetrically.
And if I wore goggles, they would work well. But I wear glasses. And that's the other thing I like about this helmet is there's no real compression that's squeezing my glasses against my face.
Wait, asymmetric? Are you saying there's like a right side and a left side vent control on the helmet?
Correct.
Wow. Why would you need that?
I have no idea. If you had a stroke, maybe.
Well,
you're going up. You're going up.
Shit, the left side of my head is just burning up.
So no, you're climbing uphill, and the wind is coming from your left.
Crosswind.
So
yeah,
it's like,
I got you.
It's getting your, right. Your left side is freezing, but you got
to
vent.
You can draw a vacuum on the other side, yes. And it draws here over and through.
I said it was an older helmet.
No, I have a similar helmet made by Smith, but the vents are fore and aft. It's either a front vent or a rear vent that you can control independently.
Yeah, and it's got little speaker pockets that I removed the foam and I put some fleece in there because for whatever reason my ears They just get so cold.
Some dog hair in there.
There's definitely some dog hair in there. Sprocket.
Here. Sprocket's hanging out.
Evan's wardrobe is brought to you by an Australian shepherd.
And some sort of beagle boxer mix.
Chris, you wear a winter helmet as well, right?
Yeah, I've got a brand spanking new Giro Timberwolf. This has been the hot ticket at our shop lately. A little bit more sleek looking than my past winter helmets, I would say. I like the shape and the venting, and it also has vent controls on the top. And the aforementioned speaker ports you can put in your ear warmers.
Or put music in your ears.
Yeah, which is, you know, much lighter than the JBL thing I'm sporting on my top tube right now. I should probably make the switch over, but I kind of do like hearing traffic once in a while.
It's true.
So, I don't know. We'll see. I also like living on the edge.
And orange, apparently.
Yes, black and orange.
So, I have this laser helium helmet that I can put a winter kit on the inside that covers my ears. And then if it gets really cold, I can put on a clear shell that closes all the vents, except the very back vents. And I could wear that sucker down to 20 degrees. It's big enough, even with my planetary melon, that I can wear a wool hat underneath. And but if it gets down to 8 degrees, I'll wear the Smith helmet and a thin hat. I just have to wear a hat because I'll just sweat, you know. I make nice icicles off the front bill of my hat. When
crystalline
it's really cold
cycling
out.
Caps fall to the snow and shatter.
Something like that. Yeah. So those two helmets take me from 90 degrees to minus 10. If it's colder than minus 10, then I must not be around here. It does never seem to get that cold around here.
Laser's a pretty innovative helmet company, I've found. It seems that they had some of the first kind of snow helmets available to our shops. So give them kudos for that.
And built-in flashy lights. And,
yeah.
Right. You know, and
sweet.
Great for people with larger size heads.
That's true, yeah. They do have some
extra
large.
Me.
Not little David.
Now, are you like literally in a kid's size or are you small? Or?
Contrary to popular belief, I do wear a medium adult helmet.
All right, well, that's just medium is mid-size. Yeah, the same size as I've been here.
Yeah, I'm like a small with the full face.
If I had hair, you know, I might fit into a large. I don't know.
I want that helmet snug. I don't know. If you've never hit your head really hard before, you don't know.
No, yeah, the one time I've had a very bad crash, I completely missed my helmet and hit my neck and ear.
Oh, that's right. It was at Beulah Park. Yes, I remember that.
Like it felt like you ripped your ear off something?
Well, I crashed very hard. There was a very sharp crack. And the first thing I thought as I was laying on the ground was, damn, I'm glad I was wearing my helmet. And I got out my phone and, you know, turned the forward-facing camera on to see what I looked like. And, I took my helmet off first and there was no scratch on my helmet. And then I took the phone out and I saw my ear was all bloodied and there was a red mark across my neck. I'm like, oh, that crack was the tree hitting my ear and neck. And I was wearing a mountain helmet that has, you know, fuller coverage and it completely missed all of it.
Full face.
And you walked away.
You're just going to scare me.
No, full face are for real. I mean, are those Bell super 2Rs and 3Rs now, I guess, would be the third generation, right? It's one of our best-selling helmets.
I think I bought one of those the next day.
Yeah, you might as well, like, you know, save your teeth.
Well, yeah, if I think I'm going to get the bike in the air,
you
have to. I don't know. You should. You know, your lower jaw will thank you.
Very cheap dental insurance.
True.
So there you go. We love helmets. I get myself a new one every year, whether I crash or not. So
I get hand-me-down helmets.
Hand-me-down helmets. They're only good for like 6 to 8 years, technically.
Yeah, well, you know, hang on to that last year.
Well, if he gets a new helmet, if Gomez gets a new one every year, well, it's got a good 7 years out of the next one. So,
you know,
dang,
friends.
Maybe I don't have the same. Maybe I need to start hanging on to him longer. I thought I was being prudent by getting a new one because you always bang him around, and you know it's just foam that's fairly firm, but you know.
If you bang them around a lot, one-time you probably use. Should, you know.
I should have gotten a new one sooner by now, but, you know, well,
all right. I'm just saying, replace them, because it's a single-crash helmet, and they rattle around in your car and around in your head, and if you wear them often, they get pretty nasty after a year. Can't imagine what an 8-year-old. Yeah, but a winter helmet is completely different than the helmet that you wear every day in 90-degree humidity. And
so you're saying this dent right here is okay?
I'm saying that dent.
The dent's
probably
okay, but the smell is not.
It wasn't the crash that killed him. It was the parasites.
Oh,
whoa,
brain parasites.
All right,
that'd be nasty.
Maybe I will start wearing a head stocking.
So
that's washable.
Pop quiz, Hotshot. Who do you think our show this evening has been brought to you by?
Hold on. I'm going to go with that it was brought to us by the bikes, parts, and chaos of Surly Bikes. You can find them at surlybikes.com. Did I get that right?
Boom!
Fantastic! Yes! I'm on this evening.
Hi, Mom!
And for our last trick this evening, Dave will pull where we're gonna be this weekend out of his hat, out of his very sized medium gyro.
Well, this weekend I will be at the Fat Abominable Snowbike Scramble on dirt, because of course we haven't seen fucking snow here in 2 months.
The thing is,
I saw the sun today.
Where I live, we have literally like 3 inches of crusty snow on the ground.
Oh, I was racing in Waterloo last weekend, and there was a good 5 inches of snow on the ground. But here,
lake effect.
Yeah. So it'll still be a good time doing the 3-hour solo race. There'll be waffles. There'll be beer. There'll be hand-ups. There'll be shots.
We crock pots with tiny sausages in them.
And there's a beer sponsor. It's a Shishi beer sponsor. It's like Deschutes Brewing or something. Yeah. Nothing's too good for our friends down there at Silver Lake.
No.
Excellent. And Chris will be down there because you, as well as thefatbike.com, are sponsorifying this event.
Yep.
It's a fantastic thing.
I took out my crayons and drew the pretty poster for them, and in return, I get to park next to the beer and show off some sexy bicycles. So come on down and get some fresh new stickers, too. We're going to be throwing around.
Stickers!
Yes.
So, I'm bringing my act to the Friday night at the Frozen Assets Fat Bike Race in Madison. That's at the Monona Terrace. At night, out on a lake, racing around with our lights on and our tight Lycra pants and whatnot. And then Saturday we're going to do Bike Across Bago. Mm. And I think that Chris had this cool, like, it was an anagram or something, like a being.
Oh, right. Yeah. Mr. Lake driving a Winnebago on a lake called Winnebago.
Exactly.
Did you ever see the?
It's come full circle.
Did you ever see Winnebago Man? Have you ever watched that documentary? No, really,
Winnebago Man.
Oh, Jesus! It's fantastic.
All right,
it's a lot of
Netflix cue.
I don't know if it's Netflix, but Winnebago Man, and it starts off with just all these outtakes of this guy doing these Winnebago ads, but it's all his fuck-ups, and he's losing his mind, and he's cursing at people.
Oh, I have seen part of this.
It's fantastic. Yes. I mean, the story's kind of sad, but it's fucking hilarious. The documentaries, they're always fucking kind of brutal, because they're real.
Gomez and I are having a slumber party tonight, so maybe we'll get in our pink, fuzzy pajamas and Netflix and chill.
You're already in your pajamas.
Why would you get out of the hemp pajama that you're in?
Oh, that's right. I forgot. I'm wearing fake hemp pajamas.
For every occasion. You could go to sleep. You could go to work.
You can Netflix and
party.
Them.
Weddings.
I brought over the Woody the Woodpecker plushie thing that you're so fond of.
Sweet.
Does that go over the onesie? Or
it goes inside it. Why not?
And then Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday. Everybody's going to do that. We should do a big ride or something.
Yeah,
Super Bowl
I want to.
Sunday. It's
sports
like
sports ball.
The game always starts at super late, and who really cares if the Quakers beat the Cheaters?
Just,
or...
You could silently, you don't have to actually tell me, but are you watching it?
No.
How about you over there? Okay, that's enough of an answer. How
well,
about you?
I mean,
going?
I got people coming over.
That's fine. So, are you watching it? Are you going to pay attention to it?
Well, you know how
it?
That goes. You got people over, you're just kind of half-ass watching.
So when they cheer, you cheer. You can you can appreciate their enthusiasm.
I don't really like Tom Brady very much, so, and the Patriots all that much, so I'll root for whoever's playing them.
I don't know who either of those ladies are. But it sounds super fucking boring.
I think it's Falcon Crest against the Cheaters.
Right.
The those are two.
The Deflators versus the second-time rounders.
First time ever's.
No. Second Super Bowl, I think, for
That they never won.
Well, no, they've never won one.
All this terminology for sports ball. I don't
know. The feet ball got all up in our bicycle shit again.
Sorry,
shit.
But
what
it is Super Bowl Sunday,
about?
But we should do a ride. There's the...
Now we're talking. That's,
we should do something.
Speak my language.
It's Kettle, there's Camrock. Camrock has groom trails.
All right, I'm in. Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Done.
Lovely
Super
there.
Bike Sunday, Sunday.
That's what I'm doing.
Sunday.
World.
No way, this is not what you're doing.
No, it's
you're
not.
Going to Menards.
Fuck, that's right. I got to go to Menards. So, listener
money,
out there,
big money.
I have started a GoFundMe page to get me a storm door because my goddamn dogs ran through it. Came tearing through the kitchen like a fighter jet. Jets. Little fuckers.
That door is stupid.
And
let's
they blew
take
right
it
through
out.
It. They thought it was open. I don't know what they thought. They blew right through the damn thing. So now I got zip ties, duct tape, and whatever else I could find.
I tell you what, they found that Uber truster, and they watched Buckaroo Banzai one too many times, and they thought, matter, antimatter, we can like go right through that door.
How do you think
door.
Two dogs like suddenly just coalesce, you know, mentally to like do a formation around your kitchen and burst through a solid door?
Honestly, I think they were fighting.
Hey, like, hey, I got an idea. Ruff, ruff. Like, me too. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, like a scene from Flubber.
The original?
Yeah.
There's two.
There was
remade it.
Oh, there was a remake.
Right. Yeah.
And
God,
it was
awful.
I didn't even see it. There's one Flubber movie.
So then, yes, definitely the original.
So GoFundMe, you can support me by coming and putting the door on if you really feel like it. So that's my weekend plans. If I get lucky, I'm going to go ninja some Bandito trails by me. And
how about this? We'll show up, help you put your door on. You go next door and talk to Joffrey. Get another couple bottles.
Oh, man, I hope he has more.
And then we'll ride.
That's a fantastic idea.
So if you if you're not in Wisconsin like we are, and you want to find an event, you can always go to our events page. There's just in Wisconsin. There's about 5 more races than the ones we mentioned. There's the Badger State Games. There's the Snowball's Chance in the Hill. There's the Gnome Stink 500.
The Yukon Jack me off is happening. World championships.
You know, till then.
Till then. You've been listening to The Weekly Dose of Fat, a production of Fat Bike Radio. Check us out at fat-bike.com or on iTunes.
The Weekly Dose of Fat is produced and directed by the Bike Black Ribbon Society for Fat Bike Radio. Pure gnome magic.